right, well, I'm Micah Redding. I'm here with
Jeremy Holland.
Anne Howard.
And today we wanted to talk about the idea that programming is like gardening. And so there is this metaphor that I believe Andy Hunt and Dave Thomas of The Pragmatic Programmer kind of put forward as really a better metaphor, a better way to understand what's going on in a software development process. And so we kind of want to just explore some of the ways in that which we think that makes sense and ways that work. So one of the first things, where should we start with that, Anne?
So one of the things that I thought was interesting is they talk about you do planning. Like you would have a landscape architect who says put the big plants in the back and the small plants in the front, put these flowers together. Mm-hmm. So you're following that plan, but when the seeds actually come up, sometimes it doesn't look the way mm-hmm. you anticipated.
Yeah.
So sometimes you have to move things around. Sometimes things die. You have to take them out. You have to replace them. Mm-hmm. And that struck me as similar to, you know, product development, where you're learning the entire time and you're responding to what's happening. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I'm wondering, as you guys, as builders, does that make sense?
It makes sense to me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, sort of, and I may be stretching the metaphor here, but you know, you have these tools that you use. Like we have libraries and frameworks and languages and databases and you know, all manner of tools that we use in the pursuit of building our metaphoric garden. The gardening metaphors to these might be seeds and spades and loppers. I don't know anything about gardening at all. So I'm really going to beat this thing to death. But even having all these tools and this whole, you've got everything you need to make the garden, but actually applying this is a matter of some chance. Experience mitigates that slightly. Like, you might know that these seeds grow best in this kind of soil, or you know, that this plant is going to spread its roots all over creation, whereas this one, they'll grow straight down. You might know that. And that will help things, but still, even there are these chaotic factors. Computers are insanely complex machines. We're building something a little more involved, typically, than like, you know, a Casio hand calculator. Like, so writing this software, there's lots and lots of moving parts. Similar, there's all these factors that go into maintaining a decent garden.
Well, yeah, for me, you know, for me, every software project I work on is a little bit of, there's at least a little bit of an element of discovery. Mm-hmm. You know, we may have a pretty good overall sketch of where we're going, where we want to go, but the actual, like when we get into it, we find that this tool is not quite what we thought it was, or this this library doesn't, you know.
Yeah, and these things are made by humans.
Right.
You know, like they could be screwed up. Like, unlike seeds, which come from Mother Nature, who also screws things up. Like, you know, I've seen a mutated violet once, and it was not something you want to look at.
Well, also, I think the business goal is different every time.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully,
otherwise, you're in a business that's already been created. Yeah, yeah. So, you know, everything's slightly different.
Yeah. Everything's slightly different. We're never going to build the same thing twice, or we very rarely do that. You know, when we're doing that, it's typically like an e-commerce thing or a blog, and someone has already solved that problem. You know, go get a WordPress whatchamahoos it or what have you. Like, you can buy ready-made gardens off the shelf, you know, like those god-awful house extensions. You know, you can just buy them and plop them down in your front yard and call it a day.
If and everything that will suit your probably purposes. Work.
Yeah, everything will probably
but
work.
But there's still weather.
Until you want to change it. Until you want to swap out the begonia for, you know, I don't know, Queen Anne's lace.
Exactly. That's when that falls apart. It's right when you want to add something new.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You got to start over.
See, the begonia was pivotal to the whole ecosystem. Yeah. And so now you're you know, you're playing God, and that's...
Yeah, when you've got these really well-defined problems, you can create kind of ecosystems that are well-tested, every little piece of it's known, you know, like a WordPress blog or something like that. But as you branch out and you want to create something more intricate, more complex, that's solving different sorts of problems, then that becomes much more complex, and it's a learning experience. And it's, you know, it's a learning experience no matter who you... have doing it. I think the thing is to approach that as a learning experience. Recognize that there are some factors that are outside of your immediate knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
But to your point, Anne, it's not just kind of the tools that you're starting with, but also the environment you're building into, which is constantly shifting. So your business may be changing as you're doing this, right? And so you may need to make adjustments because that initial plan not only didn't work out exactly the way you thought because of the various tools, but the environment changed around it. Now you need to change the plan.
Yeah, so I think if you go into, and especially the earlier stage the company is, the more it's guaranteed that that's going to happen no matter what.
Oh yeah, no, pivots occur. Like you might end up wanting a whole
a real thing.
Different, yeah. I mean, you might build half the thing up, and then you go look at it and be like, that looks crap with my shutters. Now, I want something entirely different. I want a coniferous, garden. Or, no, actually, it turns out I want a zen rock garden. And, I mean, again, I'm really just beating this metaphor into the ground, unmerciful. But... that happens.
More of a mindset. If you know going in that this is, you're expecting a learning experience, you're expecting to have to change things, and that you may plant things that you end up taking out completely.
Yeah.
Or that you are going to have to plant stuff you didn't anticipate in the beginning. If you know that, you're better prepared for when this stuff happens and for the feedback of you guys, the gardeners, the farmers, when you say, this isn't coming out the way we thought, and it's not going to solve the problem that we set out to solve. And being open to that feedback is key in getting a good product.
Very much so. Very much so. And you're going to find that, and this is not something that just happens in the first phase of building, either. This is going to happen, you might build it and absolutely love one particular facet, and nobody but you much cares for it. Like, the neighbors are calling to complain, it's like, you love ginkgo, but no one else likes ginkgo because it smells funky, and so, and so you'll have to change it, you'll have to pull that out, which is not these things, plants are not plug and play, and neither is software. You can't just rip out an integral piece, and every piece typically is an integral piece, and then just slap something else in its place in 5 minutes and call it a day. It takes time.
Well, that's a question I have too for you guys. Is like, they talk about software is soft, buildings are not.
I like that.
So talk about that more to us, because I think, I mean, what is the extent of that? Because what you're saying is you can't
the boundaries
just...
of, and this is really getting abstract, but the boundaries, a building, typically the boundaries between one space and the next are more or less fixed and clearly delineated. We have walls. Like, right now we're in this room. If I pass through that, threshold, I will be in the other room, right? It's very clearly defined. Now, we try to do that. One of the things that a lot of what we do in software and a lot of the movements that have happened in software over time from, the really stupid, simple imperative days of, like, BASIC and whatnot, through to the more procedural code like C and its descendants and what have you, through to more object-oriented code, and even beyond there into like functional code and what have you. We're trying to do is better define the boundaries, because software is very soft. It's mushy. It's it's spread out. It's not so much a solid boundary as it is a gradient. An iffy gradient, and it's really abstract that I'm talking now. I mean, I can't point to and that's the blend between class A and class B. There's no,
Well, it's that separation of concern.
It is, and that has a lot to do with good software design, like especially object-oriented design, which we're probably most qualified to speak about, of the various flavors, but... it has to do with things like concepts of encapsulation, concepts of the things that they discussed in the Gang of Four design patterns book, interfaces over implementations, composition over inheritance, which are all concepts that, trust me, if you're a programmer, you know what I'm talking about. If you're not, it's going to sound like BS. They're important lessons.
Like a good analogy for that would be, you can plant plants, but they have roots. And, we kind of work hard to try to keep those roots separate, even though you can't see them, because those entanglements can create problems.
Mm-hmm.
And they can create things where you try to rip off one thing and other stuff comes with it. And so you're like, oh, I want to move this plant to the other side of the garden. Well, all of a sudden...
Well, you
like,
ripped out the roots for three different objects.
Right, yeah.
And now your holly's dying, and you've got freaking, Tennessee creepers all over everything. Oh, weeds, good, yeah, sorry.
but that's a thing that's really hard to do, and that's like the thing that we focus on a lot, is how to keep those entanglements down, mm-hmm. how to keep it flexible,
mm-hmm.
And it's hard because in a way it's underground, like it's not obvious, and so that's the hard work that programmers are doing, is trying to kind of look beneath the surface and make sure that those kind of tendrils are growing in the right direction.
Yeah, and I think that's what clients need to keep in mind, is that I think a lot of times I find myself explaining that the fix that seems simple to them
mm-hmm.
is in fact not that simple, and it's because of these entanglements and the way things are constructed. And
well,
things like that.
Yeah. That can be the case. It isn't always the case.
Mm-hmm.
When you have a really well-constructed garden, and I mean, well, piece of software, and I mean well-constructed, not just on the surface, it doesn't just look pretty, although that is important, but under the hood, it is very well compartmentalized. We've made it as hard as we possibly can. We've sharpened those boundaries in a very well-defined way. And in that case, changes that would otherwise be much more complex are made much simpler and will take less time and less money. That is one of the benefits that you get from like spending money up front on getting a good experienced team, experienced developers who know how the roots are going to go. When you have a garden where all the roots are tied around each other, pulling any one tree up takes forever without actually killing everything else.
And we talked about this before, how you guys, with experience, learn to build more mm-hmm. compartmentalized, if you will, mm-hmm. your builds are, because you have made critical errors before where you've almost killed a business with, mm-hmm. One boneheaded move,
And that's what, to this kind of metaphor, that's a really solid reason to allow for that kind of flexing of the plan, because as you kind of deal with the soil and the way things are growing, to really establish that kind of separation that makes things, like he was saying, able to be moved around, able to be adjusted. A lot of times you discover, where things could be an issue, and it would be good if we kind of rethink the design so that we can allow for that, for a better garden, for better separation.
Thinking long term, I think, is mm-hmm.
Oh yeah, no, absolutely. Like, you're not commissioning a software project for the next 6 months and then you're going to be done with it. Typically, that is not the case. Like, you were going. The reason you were paying God knows how much money for software is because presumably it will make that money back and more as time goes on. Like, I have never seen that not to be the case. I've never mm-hmm. seen someone need throwaway software.
That's what people build a lot of times, because they want it fast.
They want it fast, and it
and
ends up being
throwaway.
And they don't
want to have to go back.
Yeah. But it's if you build something fast and cheap, I'm not going to reiterate the whole triangle of fast, cheap, and good. Pick any two. But that's the thing. Like, if you spend, crap money on it and you want it real fast, by God, it will be there. And it will probably look really pretty for 2 weeks. And then the summer heat will come, and then the fall will come. And next year, you got to build a whole damn new garden because there's nothing left but weeds.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the well-established garden produces more than, the newly planted. Mm-hmm. So the newly planted mm-hmm. garden is kind of sexy. We feel like we've accomplished something. But if we're really trying to go for, yield,
mm-hmm.
Then I think you need a well-established garden, which requires, it's like they talk about being alive.
Yeah.
It needs attention. It needs things to be done to it.
Mm-hmm. I think that's, the like the philosophy when you're gardening or when you're establishing like a formal garden or something like that is like there's a life cycle. You're not building this for it's going to be 6 months out. You're building it because it's going to be one thing 6 months out, and it's going to be another thing 2 years out, and it's going to be another thing, you know, even farther. And so you want it to, it's going to be different things at each part of that kind of arc, but you want it to continue to do well and continue to grow in a positive direction over that whole thing and not be something that you plant 1 year and the next season you scrap it and start over.
Mm-hmm.
And that requires thinking about it as something that's going to be maintained and cultivated and tended, not something that's built to a one-time design.
It is sort of a service. You hire a landscaping service. You hire these people. Like, you know, I don't just hire a guy to mow my lawn once. I hire him to mow it all summer and then the following summer.
Right.
You know, it's not a product necessarily. Yes, there is a product portion of it in that you have however many, you know, megabytes of executable code. That is technically your product.
Yeah.
But it should not be thought of in that sense. It should be thought of as an ongoing service, a living, breathing thing. Like, you are commissioning us to, like a nanny, you know?
Yeah. Well, there are some, you know, some things depending on their complexity, you know, maybe it's tended to by a professional for a while and then you can kind of maintain it yourself and maybe you bring back in a professional. And there are other things that need a constant, you know, a professional always tending to them.
But you can't leave it alone.
Right. At no
point.
You
can't leave it alone. That's right.
Never have I seen software that survives in the complete isolation of attention at the software level.
Yeah.
You know, something will happen. There will be some zero-day exploit. And this is just security-wise. Like, you know, something's going to happen. Your server's going to go down. Something is going to happen if it's something you actually care about. Now, if you leave it alone and don't care about it, that's one thing. But if you spend so much money on it, you're probably going to want to care about it.
Yeah.
Especially if it's making you money. So
I think that's right. I think, you know, a lot of times that's the kind of math I do with clients is, how intense are your needs going to be? Does it make sense to make this or buy this?
Mm-hmm.
You know, to essentially pay us to build it and maintain it, or do you need to have those people all the time?
Yeah.
But the point is, don't just do nothing. Don't just leave it alone, or it'll die. It'll be choked out by weeds and it won't produce anything. So.
And I think that's, you know, like if you work with a good gardening team, you know, then they may, you know, show you how to do some of that yourself, how to participate in it. And you can, you know, they would be happy to kind of help you lean into that process to whatever extent is applicable. So it can be a very participatory thing. But yeah, it's never done. It's never finished. It's always an ongoing process. Always growing. Always changing.
And I think about myself with gardening, and there are things I'm just not good at. I don't know when to harvest. For example, I'm famous for like letting things go until they, you know, they're just their flower and they're.
I'm famous for letting things go to the city.
But you know, if I knew that, I could, you know, get some help with that. And I think that's, you know, where having a deep team that we have can be really valuable, because you've got people who understand each facet of it. And I think we don't have a lot of hierarchy here. Mm-hmm. We don't throw projects over the fence and let the next guy deal with whatever problem. We really work holistically, I think, at our best, on our best days.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that also helps to create better gardens when you have people who are, you know, understand certain things to a deep extent.
Very much so.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, I think that about wraps it up. Any last comments? Everybody good?
I don't think I had too much.
I think we covered most everything.
Actually, the only thing I had that I thought was interesting is that I read in that article is that web development offers this opportunity to deploy more often. So kind of making this metaphor a lot more applicable.
Yeah.
So before, when we're launching like Word, you know, versions of Microsoft Word, it had to be big deployments.
Yeah.
But now
now
we can actually do this.
Well, there's continuous deployment, which is like deploy often. Like, I mean, would, at some companies I work, if you didn't deploy in a given day, if you didn't ship code, it was bad. Like, there should be ongoing improvements, and I mean constant improvements. Mm-hmm. Having a good test suite is what allows us to do this with impunity, or rather without being, you know, clutching ourselves in fear every time one goes out. Having a good deployment process, as your software gets more complex, you'll need configuration management and a bunch of what is called nowadays DevOps. I'm not a big fan of that term, but yeah.
But yeah.
So
it allows us to fully implement the metaphor.
Yeah, lots of little changes often. So, all right.
Thanks.
All right.
Cheers, guys. And talk to you next time.